Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
Oh boy, Thursday night. Y'all, we almost got through the week. I'll tell you. January, man. So I posted a meme that is someone else's, and it says, shout out to everyone who took an L right to the chest in January, but nonetheless got up and walked into February like, what's up? It's me again. So for you, those of you that are skidding right into February saying, please make this be a better month, I'm with y'all. 2020 doesn't necessarily prove improvement, but we're going to hope for it. Question of the night. It's up on our Love Line IG page. Tonight's question is, what do you think the hardest part of getting back into dating is? And later in the show, we're going to be talking about tips to consider when re-entering the dating game, either because you're single, lost a loved one, whatever the reasoning is. Maybe you took a little break. And also game night. That's right. Dr. D is going to be going head-to-head with a Loveline listener to see who gets to win a Channel Q prize package. If you want to go to head-to-head with me, go into our DMs on our Loveline IG page and let the producers know, yo, I want to battle. Also, we got couples therapy going on tonight, and I'm going to be checking in on our social media. I haven't been doing that, but I want y'all to know that I see you, I hear you, so we'll be reading some of your comments. Hopefully, they're kind. But let's get into some stuff. Oh, because Valentine's Day is coming, I'm giving you guys a lot of Valentine's Day ideas and also some of the womp womps. Okay, here's a good idea. The Winchester Mystery House is inviting couples for a spooky Valentine's Day. Now, anyone that knows me knows I love crime documentaries and horror movies. So the idea of spending Valentine's Day at the spooky Winchester Mystery House is kind of dead on for me. So basically, you will get an evening of Victorian spiritualism and seance led by a master magician. It's an hour-long interactive session that will take you on a haunted journey of ghosts and paranormal. I'm telling you, that is my dream date. That is my dream Valentine's Day. So anyway, the Winchester Mystery House. Get on it, because you know tickets go fast or something like that. Also, Burger King will let you trade a photo of your ex for a free Whopper. Come on, that's kind of amazing. I like how it goes, though. So basically, select Burger Kings in New York, Los Angeles, San Fran, and Boston. They're having a Birds of Prey-themed breakup box. I didn't know what the heck that was. It's a movie, apparently. God bless. And basically, what you got to do is you bring a printed photo of your ex, you stuff it inside one of the boxes, and you get a free Whopper. As they say, finally, your ex is good for something. But if you're in New York... It's so funny how specific this is. The New York location only. If you don't have a printed photo, you can bring in letters, stuffed animals, or a specified piece of clothing to claim a burger. Now, I'm vegan, y'all. I ain't trying to eat no dead animal on a bun. So I hope they will give me my impossible burger if I go in with pictures of all my exes. If I go in there with like a stack of 25 exes, do I get 25 burgers or is there a limit? Because I got a lot of exes, y'all.
There's probably a limit.
There's a limit? Okay. We have to find out what that one is. I'm going in there with like a binder. I'm like, we got 2002, we got the 2005 right here. That one's two burgers worth, you know, depending on quality of that relationship. Foot fetish granny. I'm all about this one. Look, you are allowed to lead and build a career on your athleticism, on your artistry and arts and craftsness. You're allowed to do it on your intellect. You also can do it with your body. And 60-year-old Long Beach, California, Tammy Balton, age 60, is charging, ready for this one? Y'all ready to quit your jobs and get in on this? $200 an hour for dudes to watch her play with her feet. I love the world we live in. Like, sign me up, not to pay her, but to offer it myself. Every time I post a picture of my feed on my IG, I can't tell you how many people are like, yo, ooh, fire, fire. Yeah, I got some foot fans on there, and I'm here for it. Ooh. Yeah, I'm going to start charging, though. $200 a pop.
OnlyFans.
So basically, she models online where she goes by the name Blue Minx. I'm into it. And her clients have the option to see her completely naked or in lingerie and close-ups of her feet, which she says are very flexible. Here's her quote. I have long toes, she says. I somehow already got turned off with the word long toes. She says, I have long toes. Plus, I can articulate my feet. Men are fascinated by the feet, but feel they shouldn't be. That's what makes it successful. The tease. I don't know. I'm all about it. She also says she's happier now that she's single and she's not worried about her friends and family think of her new career. Photos. You should see them. She's living her best, man. $200 pop to show her little tootsies off. Sign me up. I love living in a world where we can build careers on that. I mean, that's a way to pay your rent. I also have a list here of what, I love this. It's what real people actually want for Valentine's Day. Some of these I was kind of like, heh. Some of these are really great ideas. Let's go through a few. First off, something we can do together. Love that. Plan an experience. And the most beautiful intimate experiences are often free. And that's what I love. And I talk to clients about this. And again, this is LA specific. So you got to kind of figure this out in your own city. Also, you can Google free dates. There's a lot of amazing things. So for me, there are things like free days at the museum. But for Valentine's Day, things like hiking, going to the beach at night, like all these beautiful experiential things. And if you want to spend more money, you absolutely can. But experiential dates and Valentine's Day plans are really beautiful. So don't think it always has to be about an object. What we do together tends to create longer lasting memories and bonds us, right? So think about that. Someone else said a catch flights, not feelings hat. I mean, I get it. I'm not really into that. Someone else said a pair of Studio Beats headphones. Like, really? Someone else said a photo album. Okay, I'm into that to collect memories. But like, do people still print out photos? I know you can take them on your phone and have them print out. Okay, that's cool. a weekend trip planned. Already talked about that. A nice bottle of bourbon. Not for me. I'm not drinking. An at-my-home manicure. I like that. I like that because they have people that will fly by and do that. All right, we'll get through this on Monday. We'll go through the rest of them because some of these are really cute ideas. And we still got plenty of time, y'all. Loveline's got your back. Coming up next, Couples Therapy with Rebecca Shida. We'll be talking about getting back into dating. They'll be sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and it's Thursday night, so of course it's time for some couples therapy.
Couples therapy.
So we've got licensed therapist Rebecca Ashita with us. What's up, Rebecca?
Hi, Chris.
Oh, someone's in the middle of a laugh attack. Ah, yes. Y'all, I was just telling some bad other people's first date stories, and Rebecca is enjoying all of them. Let's just say, for some people, when you're doing the pre-date anticipatory sex cleansing, body preparations,
right,
make sure you give enough time for full evacuation so as to not have some evacuations on your partner.
That's, you're not talking about me. I just want to make that clear.
That's the only way I know how to share that story. That's not a story of my own. That's a story that a friend shared. I was sharing that with Rebecca. And
friend
was,
with quotes around it.
She was enjoying it. She was enjoying it. So our question of the night, and I wanted to make this our topic, or at least our entry point, is what do you think is the hardest part of getting back into the dating game? So, you know, you've talked about you re-entering the dating game. You're, you're currently seeing someone. But what do you think for you is the hardest part about getting back in?
You know, for me, this time around, because I've entered the dating world several times after failed relationships.
So the most recent 15 times you re-entered the dating
game? Yes, the most recent time, I felt what was most important was to be, oh my gosh, sorry, emotionally prepared.
Really?
Yes, that was the most important thing. You know, I took a year off of dating.
Yes, she said that.
And so, yeah.
It's powerful.
And I decided I wanted to be emotionally prepared. And as I've realized, now that I'm dating, I wasn't 100%, not that you could ever be, but I wasn't 100%
emotionally prepared. Because you can't always be prepared for the complete crap show that dating is. Like, every now and then there's a few zingers you're like, wow, how was one to know that could happen?
Or what I think, what I realize for me and maybe for many people is the things that activate you while you're dating, you know, don't necessarily activate you when you're not dating. So
that's
when
right.
you're in relationship and intimacy comes up, the things that trigger you, you can't always prepare 100% for those things. But being emotionally prepared is number one.
And that's beautiful. I think everyone should work on that. Because again, when you start dating, I know in your example, I think you were also referring to what others might bring to you. But I like the concept of assessing, you know, knowing that when I enter someone's life in a dating capacity, I'm bringing my baggage in.
Correct.
How much baggage am I bringing in? And if it's like a lot, you know, where it's not just carry-ons, there's a lot of checked-in baggage, you know, airport analogy, sit for a minute and process and unload some of that before you drag all that crap into someone's life.
Right, right.
And I say that with love. We all have that stuff to do. Like, that's one of the powerful things I had to do after my engagement ending was say to myself, okay, well, that's going to be a small T trauma, like a minor trauma.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So in what ways might I bring that into the next relationship? And if I don't examine that and work on it, I might risk traumatizing or making toxic something that's meaningful.
Yeah.
And so I got to look at like what my stuff is.
Right. Which I'm definitely, now I'm doing that for sure. And really noticing the things I want to work on for myself. For sure.
And our work looks a little similar. Like me and you both are working on letting things go.
Yes.
Because I think it's really easy to frame things as these are my needs and so they have value and I have to bring them to my partner. And like that's true.
Correct.
But I think that there's also that moment of, okay, but do I need to do it now or do I need to digest it, metabolize a little bit first or sit on it and then realize maybe a day later that like it's not that meaningful and I can let it go.
For me, and I'm not sure for you, but for me, it's I'm trying to measure, be more measured with my reactions to things. So it, of course, it's important to express your needs and your wants and all of that. But it's also the way in which you do it. So you don't want to like scare people. You don't want to seem too angry or, you know, you can still express how you feel and be more contained and adult.
Yes, because I'm sure you'd agree with this. Tell me that. When, if you don't present it as you said, as an adult, and instead you go to them with anger and frustration, that's probably a trauma response.
Right.
It's probably not about what they're doing. It's about the accumulation of other people having done that. And you're so exhausted. And so that's that moment. If it's not right size, like really look at it and say, is my response truly right sized with what we're talking about? And if not, realize again, it's historical stuff and like sit with it for a day, two, a week, maybe a month, let it like digest a little bit. And then once it's like more neutralized, loving, be like, hey, can we talk about something for a minute? Like I had to do that with someone I'm seeing now where, you know, hookup culture and online dating culture really beat me up. Like I was really exposed to some bad, bad relational behavior on other people's part. And I also know what I want and what I need. And I wasn't getting enough attention. I like a lot of attention. And I'm okay with the fact that I like a lot of attention. What I'm not okay with was the anger and energy with which I was wanting to ask for more attention. And so I had to say to myself, that is not in the current, that energy behind it.
Got it.
Need is okay. So wait till it neutralizes. And I did. And then I very calmly said, hey, in the midst of a appropriate conversation, I said, and also, by the way, you know, it's so great getting to know you. I also really like a lot of closeness and intimacy and attention. I'd like to talk more. And that was easier to be heard than had I attacked or been so angry in my delivery.
Right. No, that's so true.
It's hard, though.
Yeah, it's very hard.
But it's always about, I think, using your body as a barometer and saying, like, if, again, it's over a five, or, again, it's not right size, meaning it's not rational based on what it is we're talking about, to sit longer.
And it's difficult, too, because in a way, then, what we can sometimes do is it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. I can't be loved. Someone can't love me. Or someone in response to your reaction is like, whoa, and pushes away. And then you're like, oh, see, I can't, I'm not lovable. And so you go to a dark place.
You go to a dark place, not always knowing that that dark place that you got to was brought on by the way you asked for something, which was appropriate. The want or desire is appropriate.
Right,
it's
right,
the delivery
right.
that sometimes creates the exact scenario that re-traumatizes you. And you walk away going, see, my needs can't get met. People don't meet my needs. You know,
exactly.
Like, well, hold on.
Exactly.
Because the way you deliver it, they weren't able to meet that need.
Exactly.
That it's hard work.
It's really hard. It's really hard.
All right. When we come back, we're going to finish talking about all the things that come up around dating because I want to dive a little deeper. There's a few more things I want to bring up with you. Question of the night, though, that is up on our Loveline IG page. So go over that. It's about the hardest parts of dating. Want to hear from y'all? You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q. couples therapy.
All right, we're back and we're doing a little couples therapy. So we're talking with Rebecca. She's a licensed therapist. And tonight we're talking about the question of the night, which is about the hardest parts of getting back into the dating game. So prior to the break, we were talking about just really emotionally assessing like our current level of health and functioning and trying to not bring in historical trauma and drama into newer relationships. And gosh, doing the difficult work of trying to just see the person as they are now, right?
Be present.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, when we were off air, you brought up another component that was really meaningful was physical expectations. Mm-hmm. What were you saying?
Well, I mean, I think getting back into dating, especially now, you know, being older, and also just, once again, history, is this idea of, like, I have to look a certain way.
Right.
You know, my, you know, maybe a fixation on weight, or do I have to, you know, I feel look young and now I'm 50, you know, and then also presenting yourself in a way, because sometimes you think you're going to be ruled out because you're in a higher age pool.
Okay.
And so, you know, if I'm 50 and I'm looking for men, then will I, you know, some men won't look over a certain age,
yeah.
you know, and certain men my age are going to look for women that are, you know, in their mid-30s, you know. So sometimes it does feel like often a pressure to look a certain way, to weigh a certain weight, you know, to eat clean diet. I mean, there are all these ideas that go into that, and it's very frustrating.
So how much of that came up for you when you were re-entering dating?
It did, because I actually had put on weight that I wasn't happy with, I felt uncomfortable with in my last relationship. So I took it upon myself to get into a fitness challenge and take care of myself to feel better, but also to look better. I feel more comfortable, you know.
We meet some of the standards.
It's funny because I think I fall into that a little bit. You know, we talk about, and I hate the idea of fat shaming and all of those things. I think it's horrible. And at the same time, I know I've fallen victim to this societal idea of like, I mean, I'm not a skinny person. I've been for like a hot minute or two, you know, when I was on a verge of an eating disorder, you know, but I want to look a certain way. And so I fall into that. And then I have this fear of I won't be accepted unless I do look a certain way.
Of course you do. We all.
Yeah.
It's really, I think it's the amount of work that is required to not in any way be impacted by the body shaming, body standards is beyond what most of us can achieve.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think it's always about to what extent are you terrorized by it? Because we can't not. I mean, I just think of, and again, it depends, I guess, on where you live. But as I'm just driving down Sunset Boulevard, you're bombarded with just the billboards. Like,
absolutely.
You literally can't escape.
Yeah.
And then you hear it in songs and television. So for me, it's always been a matter of how much am I willing to cooperate with?
Yes.
And how much am I going to let it impact me? And some days it's harder. There's some days where I'm shocked at how inundated I am by it and how difficult the struggle is to just dissociate from that and feel okay in my body. And other times I'm crushing it and I don't care at all and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. But yeah, dating can hold a mirror up because others are possibly asking questions about our body shapes and sizes or fitness levels. I see that on some of the apps.
I had that happen too when I was, this was probably a couple of years ago, but someone said something about how I looked in a picture and they wanted to rest assured I really looked that way.
Oh, man.
You know,
that's
that kind
harsh.
Of thing. And it just felt so just yucky. And
it does.
Shallow
it does. Yeah. And it almost feels like a promise. I mean, I've had people ask me my height and weight, but the height was a big one that comes up. I think people that are male identified, their height is a factor.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have that on my profile because I don't think in those terms. So I didn't think to put it in because I don't assess people based on that.
Yeah.
But I'd have a couple people say, how tall are you? And all of a sudden I thought, okay, well, you're asking. Tells me it is meaningful to
right,
you.
Right, correct.
And all of a sudden you have a moment of, I'm possibly going to let you down because we match, so you're interested in me visually, but you might reject me having not met me or seen me in real time based on this magical number of my height, which is really unfortunate because height is absolutely relevant to nothing.
Yeah.
When we're at a dinner table having a conversation on a date, it's not relevant. When we're in bed having sex, it's not relevant. Although you journalists need to stop asking me about tips for sex with someone of a different height because once you're laying down, that stuff doesn't matter. So please stop writing that crappy article. I'm so burnt out on that request for discussion. It happens all the time. But height is so irrelevant. Other than ego. how you want to be seen in the world, how you need your partner to look to feel okay with them in the world. Yeah. And I want people to really do the work on dismantling that, because height has no bearing on anything. It does not speak to relational health, attraction. You're looking at my image, you find me hot, whether I'm 5'1 or 7'2. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at my face and I'm hot and you like my profile and our conversation's going well, it shouldn't matter, but then it does, and that's when we're stepping into ego, and I want people to be better than that.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that.
I'm always advocating for that. And then it can even get more painful when people are saying things like, how hung are you? And they want to get into like penis size shame and all sorts of stuff. It's just really fascinating because, again, and I'm not saying I'm better than others, but like I don't think or assess people in those ways. Mm-hmm. I'm always just seeing like, what is it like to talk with them? Because that's what relationships are rooted in.
Right.
That level of intimacy building mainly.
Right. Yeah.
Did you, so you encountered that in terms of people saying like, oh, I see this one photo of you. Please assure me that that's what you actually look
right,
like.
Right, right. Wow. We're really asking. Yeah. Because I think, you know, people have the experience of being catfished. So then they want to make sure that do you really look that way? Or, you know, are you a little chunky? I mean, people that will ask questions that you just seem
wild.
Like amazing to
and
me.
And their questions really, and I say this to people to learn about themselves and also people that are on the other end, but people's questions about you speak to their level of mental health. And so it's almost like, thank you for asking that question, because you just alerted me to how you see the world. And if my height matters, this is my example, then it'll never work because I can make a lot of assumptions about what other things might matter to you that don't matter to me if height does.
Right.
It's stereotyping, but like in some ways, those things do hold true.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, though, the dating sites really, you know, buy into that, though, too, because that's what you're putting out there. Are putting out height. You are putting out, you don't put out weight.
Education level.
Education.
Oh, no. Some of them ask height and weight.
Yeah. Well, not the ones that I've been on. So
okay.
Maybe, yeah.
Some of them I've been on. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Rebecca Ishida, where can people find you?
They can find me at Instagram at HungryBecca and RebeccaIshida.com.
All right. Later in the show, we got game night, where a listener of Loveline is going to battle me in a game to win a Channel Q prize package. If you want to go against me, slide into the DMs on our Loveline IG page and you will get to. And also we'll be talking about tips to re-enter the dating world. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and Radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Oh, my IG followers, y'all crack me up. So, Goopy Goopy Goop, Gwyneth Paltrow, released a candle called something like My Vagina Smells Like This or something like that. It was like in a vagina scented candle of her own, sold out, $75 a pop. Erykah Badu comes out, gonna release a candle that smells like, what is it? You don't remember. Oh my gosh, you're the worst. Okay, so she's releasing a candle that smells like something of hers. So I jokingly put on my IG story that I'm gonna sell a candle that smells like my post-gym undies. Well, the deluge of positive responses means I'm gonna look into it. I'm not mad at it. I'm also threatening to maybe have an OnlyFans where it's just foot and armpit pictures, because people love when I show my armpits and my feet. I'm gonna make some money off that. My side gig. We all need some passive income. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh. Okay, time for some DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence, because y'all, we are body and sex positive, and that's why we are not mad at making money on our feet or our armpits. I just want to throw that caveat in there. All right, here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, how do you deal with things when everything comes at you all at once? For example, I had to have major surgery, plus I have to move this weekend because I found out my roommate was on drugs and her health is failing. The day I was leaving to Europe, I have no place to live, going to stay with my friend in LA for 2 months until I find a place, and school starts February the 18th. FYI, this was all in 1 week. First off, my heart goes out to you. That is intense. Number two, I'd say distraction. You need a break from all this. Sometimes there's things happening outside of us that are larger than our internal resources can cope with. So eat a pint of ice cream, take some naps, go for walks, watch movies, masturbate, have sex, whatever you got to do. You need distraction. There's not always a solution. Sometimes there's tons of things happening and they're real and they're stressful, and it's about moments away from that. I am okay with people utilizing things outside of them for self-soothing, whether it's food or exercise or socialization. If you drink, have a drink to soothe. If you're into medicinal plant medicine, smoke a little bit or take an edible. It is okay to utilize things outside of ourselves to self-soothe and to cope. You do not have to learn how to deal with it. That's actually can be very overwhelming and traumatic. And so take moments away, find things to kind of dissociate yourself from that stuff. There is nothing wrong with that. That's what I do. I had a rough day myself. I ate some vegan ice cream. I took a bath with some CBD bath bomb. I took a nap. I drank some coffee. I turned my phone off. I played some music. I masturbated. I handled my business. And that was the way I stepped outside of all the stressors that were happening that aren't going to go away and aren't necessarily always solvable. So I'm sending you my love. Swoop back in. Let us know how it goes. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to worth confidence. Coming up next, how to get back into dating. See you back in a minute.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Alrighty, question night's up on our Love Line IG page. Before I get to the topic, though, I just wanted to go through some Love Line social media stuff to let you all know that we're listening. I'm going to try to get better about this. Someone said, "Hey, Dr. C, I was wondering what you thought." Yeah, Dr. C. Somehow that threw me off because I'm used to being called Dr. D, but it's good. I was watching the 3-part episode of Aaron Hernandez. Wanted to know what you thought. I actually found it really boring. I just didn't find it as dynamic as I wanted to, so I can't really say much about it. I wound up like getting into a conversation with a buddy that was staying with me, and it just kind of was on in the background. I will say this, though. Everyone talking about whether or not he was gay, and I think his brother came out to talk about the fact that Aaron Hernandez was gay and came out to his mother. That's gossip. That's not news. That's none of our business. The brother went on Dr. Oz to talk about it. That bums me out. That's none of our business. So I'm not into that. Somebody else said, thanks for some of the clips we're posting. So I'm glad we are posting them from the show as audiograms on our social media. Also, Nick, who played me last week in the game, he said, thanks, Jeffrey, producer Jeffrey. It's my fave podcast and I was nervous, but you put me at ease. So producer Jeffrey put people at ease, although sadly he won't be able to do that for much longer because producer Jeffrey's leaving us because he's a sellout. But we'll talk about that later. I'm just kidding. Love you, babes. And someone else kept saying, I want to hear more from you guys about disability and its intersection with sexuality. We are working on some guests around that. So thank you to whoever wrote that in. I can't see the name actually on that one, but that's okay. It's all good. Yeah, we'll just kind of end there. Someone said they love me. I love you too. Okay. So getting back into the dating game. This is actually, again, rooted in an article I write. I'm trying to write more articles. It's really exhausting. So if you want to host or house some of my articles, reach out and let me know. I'm looking for a new home for them. Anywho, I'm rambling. Okay, first off, don't be afraid of going online. Anyone who's single and is interested in partnership, got to go online. That is the number one place that everyone's finding love and dating and sexuality these days. Don't shame it. Don't be mad at it. Yes, it's a new set of skills. You're gonna encounter a lot of mess, but you got to do it. Why? Because you can kind of just be existing even when you're not on. But remember, part of really good online dating is that you check it. There's a lot of people on there. And if you're taking days to respond, you're clearly showing up and saying, I'm not that interested, or I'm not that serious. And people understandably are then disappearing, not responding to you. So if you are serious about this, you got to check your phone a couple times a day. Understandably, you got to show assertion. You're competing with a lot of people. So don't just, you know, be on there and think that days can go by. People aren't going to take it seriously. Also, you got to ask about people's relational statuses. Don't assume that because someone's online and has a profile that they're single. Some people already have a primary partner. They might be in an open relationship. So they might be flirting and online, but that doesn't mean they're single or want monogamy. So if that is what you're looking for, you got to ask questions. Don't make any assumptions. Also, you got to still do the real-time work. Yeah, I tell everyone, if you're interested in dating, you got to be willing to ask people out. It doesn't matter your gender presentation, guy, girl, non-binary, whatever it is, you got to ask people out. If you're female or femme identified, you want people to ask you out, that's cool, do your thing. But that limits because not all male identified people are willing to be the assertive one. I know I'm not. I also like to have desirability reflected and coming towards me. And so, yeah, you got to ask people out. It's 2020. Get over that gendered stuff. We don't do that anymore. Also, you got to live in the world in a single way. And what that means is you have to be approachable. You have to move through the world in an approachable way. So yes, smile at people. Yes, make eye contact. Yes, start and engage in conversations with people. You never know where it's going to lead or if someone's hitting on you or not, but that's how you have to be in the world. You have to be open and approachable. Head up, making eye contact. And yes, this is the one only time I will say, please smile. Don't put all the hard work on someone. They're not going to approach someone who's not approachable, and they're not going to force their way in because we're working on understanding consent. So be open and approachable. Ask people out, make contact, smile. You got to do some of the heavy lifting. Also, get rid of your ego list. All these lists of all the things they have to do. They have to be a homeowner and they have to be over a certain height. La, la, la. That is your ego talking. None of that speaks to compatibility. Get over these age ranges. Oh, 3 years plus or minus, whatever. No. You are open to all ages because you're looking for compatibility, and that doesn't promise an age range or a job or a height. If you're truly looking for love, you're going to be wider in your scope. And if not, you're in your own way, and you got to own that you're keeping yourself single. That happens. So get rid of the ego list, the list of traits in a partner that you think you need. It's not always coming from the best in you. Also, you got to use the word date. You're not asking someone to hang out or go for coffee. That confuses people because that's also the language of someone who's trying to build a friendship. So you have to say, hey, you want to go on a date? Use the word date. Otherwise, both of you might be sitting there thinking like, is this a date? Do they know I asked them on a date? Am I on a date? Do they ask me on a date? On a date. And if someone asks you to hang out or go for coffee and you're not sure if it's a date, be bold. Hey, are you asking me out on a date? I've said that to people and they're like, oh, wow, you're bold. I'm like, yeah, you just asked me to hang out. I'm clarifying what it is I'm saying yes to. So ask, is this a date? But be ahead of it and ask. Also, have sex. Yes, long-term relationships and love do come from hookups and anonymous sex. If you really want to really be out there meeting people, sex is an acceptable entry point. You can only learn so much over coffee. We've talked about this. Favorite colors, favorite movies, levels of compatibility, but sex offers that as well. At some point, sex has to be assessed and enter the picture. You can start with it or you can make it secondary, but don't think that you can't both be looking for long-term relationship and love and exclusivity and you can't also be having sex. You can. You can be doing all the above, you know, and they all lead to the same place. So anyway, let us know how that goes. But we'll be putting some of this up on wearechannelq.com, so you can always kick it around on that. But coming up next, we're going to be doing Game Night, where a Loveline listener is going to go head-to-head with me to win a Channel Q prize package. And then Question of the Night, so go on our Loveline IG page and weigh in on that. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we are back. Question of the Night. It's up on our Loveland IG page. We'll be breaking that on down later in the show. But right now, it is Game Night time. All right, we got that 70s vibe. Okay, so that means me, and tonight we got Vanessa from Salt Lake City. Vanessa, we're going to be going head-to-head, and tonight's game is Modern Dating Slang. So,
slang
terms. So basically, producer Emmy is going to read us a term and then we're going to get multiple choice. You'll go first, I'll go second, and we'll see who crushes it.
All right, I'm excited.
I am too. Now, I have said before I traditionally cheat, but producer Emmy is not letting me do that this time. So it's actually
fair.
Why
do you cheat?
Because I like to win.
I don't know. I left the studio for a second, so who knows if you took a peek.
I'm driving, so I can't cheat.
Okay, well done. No cheating because you're driving. That's dangerous. And you're playing for a Channel Q prize package, which I promise has really awesome stuff in there, including CBD massage oil and lube. So we're good.
Oh, snap.
That's right. It's a double snap.
All right, let's get it started.
All right, Vanessa, this is for you. Ready? Here we go.
First question. In dating terms, what does cushioning mean? A, dating someone, yet also keeping around several cushions, aka people you text and flirt with to cushion the blow relationship that doesn't last. B, stealing your date's cushions on a date, so when she asks for one, you look generous. C, removing yourself from all dating apps to cushion the blow of dating. A, B, or C?
God. Vanessa's like, I didn't even hear a thing you said.
Can I give me the options again? Is there any of them?
Yeah, sure. It's A. A is dating someone yet also keeping around several cushions, aka people you text and flirt with to cushion the blow of a relationship that doesn't last. B, stealing your date's cushions on a date, so when they ask for one, you look generous. Or B or C, removing yourself from all dating apps to cushion the blow of dating.
It's A.
You said A? I'm going to say A as well. I think it's about having other options in case it doesn't go well. So me and Vanessa both say A.
You guys are both right.
All right. Hopefully producer Jeffrey will stop drinking so we can get the right sound effects, but we'll work on that. Yay.
Oh, my
God. All right.
All right, let's hear the next one.
Number two, in dating terms, what does stashing mean? A, dating someone but not introducing them to your friends. B, only dating people with money so they pay for everything. Or C, lining up more than one date in one night.
Stashing.
Yeah, what do you think? Hiding them away from your friends or lining them up so you have multiple people. That's A and that's C.
I say A.
I'm going to say it's C. Lining them up.
The answer is dating someone but not introducing them to your friends.
Ooh, Vanessa, you got it right.
You are one ahead.
All right, 2-1, 2-1. But guess what? I'm coming back strong. What's the next one?
What is fire dooring? A, running out the fire exit to avoid paying for the date. B, occasionally messaging someone but not replying when they get in touch with you. Or C, blocking someone from your social media profiles but continuing to talk to them via text or in person.
Ooh.
This is fire dooring.
What do you think, Vanessa?
Fire dooring. Dang. I'm just going to hit what my gut says. B.
You said B?
Yeah, bravo.
I'm going to go with C.
The answer is
that one.
B, occasionally messaging someone but not replying when they get in touch with you.
All right, so you're doing, it's 3-1. It's going to be a hard comeback for me, but don't count me out yet.
Next term.
All right, what is it?
Orbiting. A, offering someone the whole universe to get into bed with them. B, always hitting someone up to check in on them, but never committing on going on a date with them. Or C, when someone ceases all communication with you, yet still engages with you on social media.
Oh, orbiting. What was the last option again? Sorry.
C is when someone ceases all communication with you, yet still engages with you on social media.
I think it's that one.
I think it's that one, too.
C.
We both say C.
I'm gonna
basically say whatever Vanessa says because she seems to be really good at this game. So I'm gonna say C as well.
That's a cheater method.
That, like, my life is still not exciting. I'm surprised I even know all this stuff.
You guys are both right at C.
Yes! So it's 4-1. Even though Vanessa has a non-exciting life, she's still apparently well versed in the dating world. So you're doing something.
4-2. You guys, you both get point for that.
You know. My friends all call me, and they tell me all this cool stuff. They tell me about all their nonsense,
Vanessa, due to time, apparently you won.
Congratulations, Vanessa. You're our winner.
Oh, wait, I won.
Yes, you won. So stay on the line, and producer Jeffrey will get your information so we can get your prize package. Thank you for playing against me.
Hey, thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for being so awesome. I've listened to you for years.
Aww,
you're great. Bye.
Thank you. All right, coming up next, question of the night. Still some time to weigh in on that, and then we'll be sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
So those listening to our jams, that last song was literally if K-Earth and channel Q had a baby, that song would pop out. You know what I mean? And that's all the radio heads. You all know what I meant when I said that. Tonight's question of the night. What do you think is the hardest part of getting back in the dating game? It's time for question of the night.
Question of the night.
So I've shared this. For me, getting back in the dating game, the hardest part was people's crap behavior. There is such a lack of care and compassion out there in hookup culture and dating culture. My God, the way y'all treat each other. Have some integrity. Seriously. Like, don't leave people worse off. Have some care. You know, when people say things like, oh, it's just an app, don't take it seriously. No, dear God, please do. These are human beings you're talking to. Be kind, be loving, be transparent with what you're thinking and feeling. That, to me, was the worst part about dating, is just people's bad behavior. But what y'all got to say? First up, we got Bittersweet1318 said, taking the time to know the person. Oof. See, I actually enjoy that part. That was the hardest part for you. I actually like the getting to know part. Some people are like, let's just jump over that and get to like the committed part or whatever. I enjoy that process. Golds1349 said, dealing again with boys who pretend to be men and waste your time and make up on dates. I like the waste your makeup. I get what you're saying, though. You get all done up. You go out and you're like, sure. I put on lipstick for this. Or shaving. Yeah, you're like, I shaved up for this. My version is, I put on deodorant for this because I don't ever wear deodorant. So if I do, it's a big deal. I'm like, I rubbed my Toms of Maine on my pits for this. Nah, I should have stayed home. Someone else said, trying to feel secure in knowing past relationships to not work out for a reason. Yeah, that's a good one. Other people's thoughts on the hardest part of getting back into the dating game. Megs Rodriguez says, opening up to being vulnerable again. Yeah, I know. That's hard. Especially when not only do you have to do it again, but you have to do it like 15 times a day. If you're like really swiping a lot and matching a lot, it's like, man, how many times can I walk people through what I do for work? La, 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 la. Like, oh, man. Hardest part of getting back in the dating apps. Someone said how garbage the apps are. I know. Got to do it anyway, but I hear you. Someone else said, having to hold a fart. Yeah, I feel you. I mean, that is probably the most realness I've heard all night. Yeah, because once you're deep in the relationship, you let them rip. You're like, hey, babe, sorry about it. You know, deal. You ain't going anywhere. But early on, you're like, man, I got to hold this in. And for how much longer? That's the question. At what point do you realize it's safe to let them rip? Living in my world, it's pretty early on. I'm all like, just so you know, I'm nasty. You know what I mean? I burp a lot, actually. Yes. The person I'm currently dating is like, you definitely burp a lot. And I'm like, be happy it's coming out that end. Someone else said, for the hardest part of getting back in the dating game, leaving your fears behind and not bringing up your past relationship fails. Bam, I know. You got to stay soft and open. We want to harden and protect ourselves, but getting back out into dating means softening and staying open. And I so feel you. It's so hard. We have to do it anyway. Someone else said the hardest part for them is self-confidence. I know. And people acting like trash cans does not make it easy to stay confident, right? And not personalizing other people's issues that you're pulled into, but we have to not personalize, right? These people are struggling. They're working through their stuff. Their bad behavior cannot be a reflection upon myself that I internalize. Somebody else said, letting go of the rom-com fantasy that someone will notice you and ask you out. I know. I wish people in real time would walk up and be like, hey, saw you across the coffee bar. What's up? I know. People don't do that anymore. It's a bummer. I try to. I really try to be that guy that walks up to people and it's like, hey, how's it going? Someone else said, hardest part of getting back into dating, understanding single people after being out of the game. I know, it's a different way of thinking. It's a different language. Someone said, comfort or thriving in your independence? Bam, that's true. Healing the ego and letting go of toxic shame, hashtag baggage. I know, but that's where I think dating and relationship can be very transformative because of everything you all are talking about. A lot of these things that you're mentioning are things we all have to work through. So the work is there. Someone else said, when you got to stop doing ho shit. Can I not say that? No. Sorry. Okay. I can't say that. That fell right out. When you got to stop doing ho stuff. Yes. I can't help it. I've been doing the show for a year and a half and I've let foul language slip out twice. That's pretty good. And I just did it right there three times. Producer Jeffrey says he's clearly checking. But y'all missed it. We dumped it. We're safe, but it fell right out of my mouth. I blame you, whoever wrote that in. I trusted you and I read your comment. No foul language. Sometimes Dr. D just reads it on air. We got that one though. Someone else said trusting people and seeing if they have good intentions and are honest about what they're looking for. Y'all are hurting my soul. It's so rough out there. I want the listeners to hear what everyone's saying and to be kind with each other out there. Anyway, thanks for everyone that participated. That's all we have time for. We'll get back to more at some point. I love circling back when we can. All right, coming up next, slide in those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we are back. I am mad at this. I have no idea what this is, but I am mad at it. It's who?
Solange.
This is Solange, really. I hadn't really checked her music out. I'm not mad at it. I like it. Okay, time to slide in the DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
I could have just sat with that all night. Like, that was my vibe right there. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. And we want you to explore with confidence. All right, here we go. Hey, Dr. D. I went to my new boyfriend's house Friday night expecting to have sex with them for the first time. But he said no. We were making out on the couch, and I said, are you going to take me upstairs? And he said, is it okay if I say no? I told him, of course it was okay, but I was curious why. He said, well, we haven't really talked about it yet. I didn't know if you're ready to take that step. My question is, y'all back up. That is my voice of whoever this other person is. My question is, could this mean we were not sexually compatible? I mean, I'm sort of a hypersexual freak, and I'm concerned he might be too prude. I respect his choice, and it's very sweet, but I'm not the type of person to wait for sex. We still haven't done it yet, and it almost feels as though he's avoiding it. What do I do? First off, from one hypersexual freak to another, I feel ya. Yes, on one level, there is a little bit of sexual compatibility questioning gray area in here, because I'm also the kind of person where I also like people that prioritize sex, are confident in their sexuality, want to explore sexual chemistry and compatibility. And for me, in theory, I'm not compatible with someone who wants to delay sex, because that means they don't understand sex or value it in the same ways that I do, right? And I want to be with someone who honors that if there's a lot more there, then it will still be there after sex and we will still have things to connect over. So I feel you on that part. I also do say we never know what the reasoning is behind, and so you want to give it time. Right? So hold space for the possibility that maybe you are not sexually compatible and that this person has work to do around their sexuality, because it's okay to say, I don't want to be with someone who has work to do around their sexuality. I'll take it in other areas, but that's an area that I don't want to deal with. But I would say give it more time, because you said expect to have sex for the first time. I don't know how many dates in this is, but I'd bring it up and I would find out why. I'd say, hey, listen, sexuality is really important to me. I'm sex positive. It's an important part of me getting to know someone and intimacy building and assessing compatibility and chemistry. And let's have sex next time we hang out. And if they're like, yeah, I'm not really down with that, you can say, hey, help me understand what that means to you and, you know, why you want to wait, and assess their answer. And their answer might be something you're not down for, like, I want to wait till marriage, or, you know, whatever it is. And you can be like, yeah, not my jam, you know. But hang in there for a minute, you know, get some answers. But I support what you're saying, because this could be a sexual incompatibility. It really matters. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. Y'all have a good weekend. Set some self-care goals. I definitely have mine. I'm going to pop my CBD bath bombs into the tub. I put it on my IG story. I tried one this afternoon. Love it, from Simon & Wolf. Their stuff is bomb. I'm going to do another one this weekend. Chill out, watch some horror movies. It's been a rough week, y'all, but I hope y'all focus on self-care for yourselves. Podcast, as always, is up at wearechannelq.com. And if you want to check out Simon & Wolf, it's on our website, wearechannelq.com. Sorry, I was trying to read it. Producer Jeffy was writing. As he was writing it, I was like trying to anticipate the next word. Did a bad job of it. But we'll be back Monday night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. It's time to go. You know what I mean? You can hear it. Dr. D's like, it's been a week. I'm done. Anyway, kisses to you all. Blah, blah, blah. Thanks for hanging out with me. And y'all have an awesome, awesome night.